I'd like to share with you, as we continue, at least I continue through the Gospel of Luke, the 19th chapter, and the first 10 verses. And I think because of the time I had with the young people, you kind of get the idea of what story is going to be told in this parable. But I thought I'd tell it again anyway. So for those of us who have a tendency to be short memory, we'd be able to pick up on it. He entered Jericho, he being Jesus, and was passing through it. And a man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not see because he was short in stature. And so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." And so he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. And all who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. If I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." And then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." May God add his blessing to that reading of his holy word. Mrs. Billy Cannon, a Knoxville, Tennessee homemaker, was preparing to paint her back porch. And in order to protect the floor, she was very carefully placing around the edges of the floor a strip of tape, the kind with adhesive on both sides. And it was her plan to place a drop cloth over the floor to secure it to that tape. And having succeeded in placing the tape around the entire edge of the surface, she went back inside the house to get the drop cloth. And returning to the porch sometime later, she found that all of her carefully placed tape was gone. Now, she became completely mystified about the whole thing. Where could all that tape have gone to? Where is it? Where could it be? Who could possibly have taken time to pull up all the tape and then answer me the question, why? Well, as she was surveying the situation and mulling over her puzzlement, she noticed something moving in the backyard. Looking closer, she discovered it was a snake. It was a rather large creature of its species, but was no threat to her. It wasn't poisonous. And another reason it wasn't a threat to her, it was wholly immobilized by being totally enmeshed in a large ball of tape. Evidently, while Mrs. Cannon was in the house, the snake had crawled up onto the back porch and has eased itself into the tape with all the adhesive on both sides. And sensing that that tape was sticking to its skin, the snake obviously put up a terrific struggle. And in doing so, it pulled every bit of tape around the edge and on the floor. And the harder it fought, the more hopelessly it became entangled in that cellophane prison, until now it was totally a captive on the lawn in the backyard. Now, I tell that story, and it's a somewhat humorous story because of this. The poor snake reminds me of many people that I have known. Somewhere along the way, they have made some kind of serious, terrific mistake. Then, rather than calmly analyzing their situation and correcting their course, they have reacted impulsively, and soon their lives are like the snake's. The more they struggle, the more entangled they have become until eventually they are totally immobilized psychologically, emotionally, and also spiritually. Perhaps, just perhaps, Zacchaeus was in such a state that when he sought out Jesus at that particular moment, here was a wealthy chief tax collector who was so desperate to see Jesus that he climbed up into a sycamore tree. Now, I went to Sunday school, and I had my perfect attendance pins, just like a lot of you may have had. Well, I had about 13 or 14 of them before I graduated out of that. I never could catch up with one lady in the church that had like 85 of them. You know what I'm talking about? Those attendance pins that used to be real popular. Every child in Sunday school knows why he climbed into that sycamore tree. First of all, he was short and could not see over the crowd in front of him that had gathered to welcome Jesus to the town of Jericho. Can you imagine? Can you imagine one of your prominent city officials climbing in a tree in order to catch a glimpse of a popular religious figure? It is truly an absurd picture. It indicates to me that Zacchaeus was really in a desperate situation, a desperate state of mind. He was unhappy about something in his life. Something was gnawing away at his insides. Something that money, position, or power could not satisfy. Perhaps this striking teacher from Galilee could help him untangle his life. Now, it was a long shot, but it seemed worth it to Zacchaeus, or he would not have been up in that tree. Nevertheless, Zacchaeus could not have been prepared for what happened next. Excuse me. As he sat on that precarious perch in the sycamore tree, he heard someone call his name. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. And lo and behold, it was that visiting teacher at the base of the tree. Somehow the master had spotted Zacchaeus perched in the tree. Zacchaeus, said the master. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house. Now, what Luke tells us is that Zacchaeus got down the tree immediately and received joyfully Jesus into his house. And somehow Zacchaeus knew that Jesus could set him free. Somehow he knew that this was exactly what he had been looking for. The effect of Christ's presence on Zacchaeus was so profound that with an overflowing heart, he stood following the meal and said to Jesus, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything whatsoever, I will pay back to them four times the amount." If there was any doubt in Zacchaeus' sincerity, Jesus erased it by declaring, "Today, salvation has come into this house." I think we need to notice, first of all, that Jesus was more eager to see Zacchaeus than Zacchaeus was to see Jesus. Now, somehow we probably lost that in our Sunday school story. Even though Zacchaeus climbed the sycamore tree, it was Jesus who called out to Zacchaeus rather than the reverse. Now, this tells me two things. In the first place, it speaks of Jesus' purpose of coming into this world. For the Son of Man came, says Jesus, to seek and to save the lost. You've heard that one hundreds of times. And that was his entire reason for being. Now, if you're feeling lost this morning, if your life is in a helpless tangle, if you feel immobilized by doubt or fear or guilt, Jesus indeed is looking for you. You may have come to this place looking for him. But even more surely, he is here looking for you. You see, Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus more diligently than Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. That says something about Jesus' purpose. But it also says something about Zacchaeus' potential. Have you ever thought what a difference you could make for the kingdom of God if somehow Christ would make the change in your life that he made in the life of Zacchaeus? God sees within your life and within my life an awesome potential of which we are probably not even remotely aware. It's always inspiring when we hear of someone who sees potential in a person that no one else sees that potential. Many of you have seen the delightful Broadway musical and motion picture, My Fair Lady. If you haven't seen that, either as a play or in the movie or on TV, you live in a vacuum. It's based on George Bernard Shaw's wonderful play, Pygmalion. It is about a brilliant professor, Henry Higgins, who transformed a humble flower girl, Eliza Doolittle, into an elegant, proper English lady. And in the midst of her brilliant transformation, Eliza falls in love with Henry Higgins. But he treats her only with disdain. And towards the end of that play, she expresses her complaint to their mutual friend, Colonel Pickering. You see, she says, really and truly, apart from the things anyone can pick up, things like dressing or getting into the right fashion or the proper way of speaking and so on and so forth, the difference between a lady, she says, and a flower girl is not how she behaves, but how she is treated. How she is treated. I shall always be a flower girl to Professor Higgins because he always treats me like a flower girl. And I will always be that way to him. But I know I can be a lady to you because you always treat me like a lady and always will. I think it's both interesting and encouraging to notice how Jesus treated people. Whether it be a woman of the street or a tax collector sitting in a tree. He saw something that no one else could see in that individual. He could see potential. He could see a life that's changed. He could see a vessel of the kingdom. That is the first thing I think you and I need to see. Jesus was more eager to see Zacchaeus than Zacchaeus was to see Jesus. Here's the second thing. Zacchaeus was changed, not only by what Jesus saw in him, but also by what he saw in Jesus. Two words seem to characterize what Zacchaeus saw in Jesus, and they are hope and holiness. Jesus represented hope to Zacchaeus, or he would not have sought him out so eagerly. He knew in his heart of hearts that there was more than just another religious leader walking by down the street. Here is a man who has answers to my problems. And it comes to mind another story about an ancient Persian king who had injured his ankle quite severely. And none of his court physicians knew really how to help him. And a member of his court told him about a certain slave who is said to have great insight on the matters of the body. Well, the Persian king sent for the slave, who was brought to him, weighed down with chains and dressed in rags. However, the slave was indeed able to give him great assistance with his problem. The pain eased, the ankle soon healed, and the king was elated and justly grateful for the slave's help. He was so grateful that he sent the slave a gift, a new set of golden chains. The slave was greatly enriched, but he was still a slave. You see, some people shy away from religion because they are afraid that they may be trading one set of chains for another set. And I will admit, religion can do that to people, but not a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus sets us free. And Zacchaeus saw in Christ that hope. But he also saw holiness. That is why Zacchaeus offered to give him half of his wealth to the poor and to make fourfold restitution to anyone who he may have defrauded over the years. Now, could it be that he saw in Jesus such love, such purity, such honor, that he was suddenly aware of how sordid his life was in comparison? One of the great theologians of our time, William Barclay, once told of an event that occurred while riding the train from Glasgow to London. While riding the south across the Yorkshire Moors, he saw a lovely white cottage off in the distance, and it was shining brightly in the afternoon sun and looked so clean and it looked so white. A few days later, Barclay was returning home along the same route. A lovely snow had fallen, and soon the white cottage came into view, but in contrast to the snow, the clean cottage looks kind of drab and soiled and almost gray in comparison with the virgin whiteness of the driven snow. I think that's how Zacchaeus regarded his own life in the presence of Jesus. Not because it was required of him, but as a natural response to the change that had taken place in his own heart. He wanted to resolve the contrast he saw between Jesus' life and his own, and thus he sought to make restitution of his sin. You see, I think that's really important for us. Many of us want to be all kind of half converted. We want to see Christ as hope, but not as holiness. We want to be set free from guilt, but we don't want to change. So we will never wear the chains of slavery. We are still tangled, you see, in that prison of tape. And we see now what Jesus saw in Zacchaeus. We also see what Zacchaeus saw in Jesus. But what did the crowd see? What did the crowd that had gathered around see? And I think that's the third thing that we need to deal with. That the crowd of people who had gathered mostly out of curiosity, let's face it, they were curious about this guy named Jesus who was walking down the street because of all his popularity as a religious figure. What did they see? They saw two things. Did they not? First of all, they saw Jesus go home with a sinner. Oh! My gracious me. You talk about a scandal. Anything that goes on in Carrollton can't even compare to that. Luke tells us that they murmured among, you've never done that, murmured among themselves. You've never gone to the coffee shop and I go to a coffee shop at Bloomfields and Marshall, I hear all kinds of stuff. And half of it goes, pew, pew. The nominally religious people always murmur, you see, among themselves. They have, you ever noticed that? God saved us from people who are converted just enough to criticize everybody else. You ever notice that? Interesting. Mark Twain. I hope there's nobody in this room that does not know what Mark Twain is. Was a famous, as a humorist, but he was biblical, really cynical about religion. And on one occasion he said that if Christ were here now, there is one thing he would not be, a Christian. It may surprise you all. Unfortunately, Twain was confusing deeply committed followers of Christ with half-converted, and that makes a tremendous difference in lives. But they also saw something else. The crowd saw Jesus go home and eat with the sinner. They saw Zacchaeus emerge from this encounter with Jesus as a new man. I believe it was Corrie Ten Boom who said that when light is turned in on a dark room, it's obvious. If a corpse were to rise from its coffin and live again, there would be no need to hang a sign around the neck and tell the world that there was some kind of change going on here. When the doors of the penitentiary swing outward and the prisoner walks to freedom, it's an immediate apparent. And so it is with a man or a woman genuinely encounters Jesus Christ. It's certainly apparent to Zacchaeus' neighbors that something dramatic had happened in his life. One of the most popular weekly programs in early television was Father Knows Best. Anybody remember that show? Father Knows Best? Boy, that sure tells my age. I remember that. And one of the stars of that show was little Lauren Chapin, who played the 11-year-old Kathy Anderson. Those of you of a certain age who are familiar with this wholesome family program, remember little Kathy in all of her innocence and all of her charm. It's unfortunate, however, that Lauren Chapin's real life was anything like Kathy Anderson's. We are told that Lauren's mother drank very heavily, and when the Father Knows Best series ended, Lauren couldn't get another job in television. Alienated from her mother and from the world of make-believe that had given substance to her life, she began running wild. She turned to drugs, casual lovers, fast company, and the next several years of her life were filled with 8 miscarriages, welfare, a mental hospital, and a host of time in and out of jail. 38 years of age, Lauren Chapin encountered Jesus the Christ. And in the midst of her wildness, the Prince of Peace came to her and moved her from the pandemonium of her life to peace. She said that when she escaped Christ, or I'm sorry, accepted Christ, it occurred to her with a sudden clarity that she was an individual worthy in her own right, who no longer had to live up to the impossible expectations of the make-believe Kathy Anderson. All my life, she said, I've wanted to be loved. God's love is the most complete love, and I think that's what I was looking for. That is why the Son of Man came into the world, to seek and to save the lost, to free us from our hopelessly entangled lives. Jesus sees within each one of us more potential than we actually see in ourselves. In Him we see both hope and we see holiness. And that is why any encounter with the Christ, the believer seeks to correct the problem in his or her own life. Not out of duty, but out of joy. Out of determination to resolve the difference between Jesus' life and ours. So it's no wonder that Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus so joyfully into his house, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? If you believed that such a change could take place in your life today, remember that snake in the first story that got entangled in the tape? That is a metaphor for your life, for my life. Isn't it time that we find the clarity that Lauren Chapin found by giving her life to Christ? If there is anyone here that wants to rededicate their life or maybe join this church for the first time, please come up and visit with me during the singing of our next hymn of invitation. Just as I am, without one plea. And in this hymn, you may want to keep your finger in there because we'll sing it and sing the first two verses now and verses 3 and 4 just a little bit later. Number 339.